All right, and welcome everybody to our second podcast of 2013. I'm here with Wade, Ben, and David, and myself. I'm Lee Anderson. We couldn't have Austin again because unfortunately his car broke down. Car in parentheses broke down. I think it was just another excuse to not be on this.
He's shy.
Okay. We got a pretty good podcast. We're going to start off with an event that we got to partake in at Augsburg. Something that we did for them and recorded an event. I'll have Ben or Wade.
Yep. What we did is we were recording the annual, this would be the 25th annual Martin Luther King Jr. convocation that Augsburg holds, and we bring in a outside performing group, and they perform a lot of songs and dance, and they speak on Dr. King and his legacy and reflections on it, and the effort that is still being conducted even now to continue that fight for complete racial equality.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, it was a really cool event. It was almost 2 hours, and they had a lot of great performances. There was a lot of great interpretive dance, singing. They have a great jazz band playing, and it was a contracted event. We were hired out to do it, and we used three cameras and the new Final Cut X to put it all together. It worked really well.
Yeah, and ended up being about 200 gigs of including, HD footage.
Including, well, the render files and all the metadata. It was around 200 gigs. I haven't really taken a sample in a while, but something around there. But I knew 2013 iMac can take it.
Are they going to make this video that we made publicly available or no?
There is the, we are currently working on a specifically YouTube edited version of it that will be viewable, and that will be on Augsburg College's YouTube channel.
Yep, and then we're commissioned to send out 50 or so DVDs of the whole event.
Okay, so we'll probably post that on our website once it's published.
That'd be awesome. We'll make sure to make it
check
good.
That out. It's pretty long, but I think it's really nice. A little bit I saw.
Okay. Were you guys able to do the multi-camera editing?
I just custom did my own multi-cam.
Didn't quite work.
Well, it was hard because there were a lot of different clips. There was probably like, including all the ones with my DSLR, which was the floating camera, there was probably 30 clips. And I don't think it was just designed to sync up correctly. And so it was fine. I did my own multi-cam thing where I just put each shot in a different corner, synced them all up, and then cut accordingly. So it worked out pretty well, and there were a lot of nice tools in the new Final Cut that helped out with that.
Very cool.
That's a conversation we should have at some point, is a breakdown of Final Cut X, because that's no small subject of controversy.
No, no.
Especially seeing how both of us use both Final Cut X and Final Cut 7.
And one thing that that I think we agree on is that it depends on what your job is. If you're doing what we're doing, it's a great tool. But if people who work in like a post house or in any kind of broadcast setting, it can be kind of hindering in some of the things that it didn't bring in from the previous version. But for what we do, it works well, and it's what we need. So,
yeah. Very cool. And then now we get to talk about something that we hinted at last week or last month. It feels like it was last week we recorded the first podcast. What David got to spend time with Corridor Digital in Stillwater.
Yes, I did. That was... it was really, really, really great to be able to work with them. I was hoping that some of you other guys were going to be able to come with me, but I know it's difficult getting the scheduling down. So the project they did, it was posted about a week ago now? At the beginning of this week, this last Monday, it was finally posted. It's called After DayZ. And DayZ is, it's in reference to a video game mod for a mod for the game Arma 2, which is a really unique take on the whole zombie apocalypse idea, because when you log in and play the game, you spawn with a character, and as soon as you're killed, either by zombies or other players even, that character is dead, and then when you respawn, you're back to square one, so you have no equipment, no gear with you. So this this short was following situations that can actually happen in the game, if you will, where someone comes into the game, an American, and he encounters a Russian player in this world. And then it's them trying to communicate and work towards a goal, and they're having to deal with not only zombies, but again, other players that are more well-armed than they are.
So that's usually the point of the game, is it's not the zombies aren't usually the dangerous part. It's the other people in the game that
just people who want your gear.
Yeah, they just kill each other. No questions asked.
I think I just looked
unless you're like friends or.
This wouldn't be a problem if we solved world greed.
You get on that.
Yeah. Report back at the next podcast.
Yeah.
And a quick thing about the game. I was looking at the website the other day. The average life expectancy of the game is 1 hour, 8 minutes. but anyway, so did this short because Sam and Nico, who are of Corridor Digital, they're both from Stillwater, Minnesota. So whenever they come back here for the holidays or for vacations, they like to shoot because the locations of L.A. sort of get all the same. When it comes down to it, there's only so many locations they have access to there.
For free.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah, and you can notice that a lot in Frey W's videos and Corridor and
back alleys.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, this was really cool. The location we shot at was this shot at was a farm where they also, across the street from it, is where they shot their Assassin's Creed short. Mm-hmm. And so I got to be there, I was only able to be there for the last day of filming. But it was a whole lot of fun. This was the largest crew they've ever worked with on any short, including when they did Sync, which was their web series, which was a pretty big thing too.
How was it working with them? Were they nice? And
they were incredibly nice. Yeah. Like because I was there and I was an extra, I was a zombie. Don't look for me in the short. You can't see me. I'm way in the background. But I also, because I had video production experience, I was allowed to shoot the behind the scenes video. So I got to use a behind the scenes camera. And I was, you know, I got a little more unrestricted access to follow them around.
Mm-hmm. And they used a lot of your shots, didn't they?
Yes, they did. A whole lot of them. So, yeah, you can look at their Daisy making of video. And a lot of the stuff that is, when they're in Minnesota, a lot of it, probably about 80% of that stuff is stuff that I got to shoot.
Yep.
But it was really nice. You know, I was shooting them as they're walking through the snow. And then Nico just started talking with me, just asking where I was from. He was a very, very friendly guy.
Cool.
You know, being a YouTube celebrity, I could have seen it very easily that like they're there, and if in any way they can avoid having to like deal with the mobs of fans, they would. But no, they were all really, really nice.
So you didn't ask for their autograph?
I didn't, but I did get a photo with them.
Nice.
Which was really cool. Lit by a flare.
The video, the making of on their Sam and Nico all one word channel has about 90,000 views, and I can't see the dislike bar, so you're probably a big reason that it's so highly rated because you shot a lot of that footage.
I see no other possible way.
One thing they talked about the behind the scenes, which I thought was unique watching the video, was how they lit it, because it was at during night that they filmed most of it, and like with the one scene half. Like there's the screenshot for before you play it, like they lit that scene with a flare, and that's it. And that's pretty hard. You know, you could tell you get the grain a little bit when there's not enough light and stuff, but I think it had a pretty good effect as far as what the guy must have been feeling.
Yeah, and they shot this. They have a Red Scarlett that they use, so it's a great camera for this kind of thing. And another thing they also mentioned...
You can go back if you're shooting raw and do all the ISO and whatnot.
And one thing they mentioned in the making of is one of their techniques, because there are some scenes where they wanted more... You can see in the whole nighttime section, a lot of it is done in silhouette when there's not a flare. Like, they're not trying to actually show you all the details, but they wanted to give you the feeling of what it was like of not really being able to see. And to help with the backlight, they had, like, an LED emergency light that you would have in your car, the long stick ones, and they gaff-taped that onto a pole, and they would just sort of stand, like, 50 or so feet away with that, just give a little more backlight to the scene. So really sharply silhouetting the action, which is a really, really cool technique, you know, and it's much cheaper to do that than it is to buy a expensive light kit.
Yeah, and one thing that we find hard to do in Minnesota is our long winter. How was that shooting in the snow? And
I'm glad to say it's not as bad.
Frostbite?
No, it's not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah.
Because
I think it was a pretty warm day, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was a Minnesota warm day. Yeah. It was below freezing, which is... It's interesting that it's like that, because with the Red Scarlett and with most other cameras, once you get to about freezing, the warning labels on it say you shouldn't shoot below that. Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't that much below freezing. It was probably between 28 and 30.
Okay.
I would say, and it wasn't that windy, which was helpful, because as soon as that wind starts cutting across Minnesota, you don't want to be outside anymore. Yeah.
Do you know why those cameras say that? Because specifically with the Red, I don't believe there's any moving parts. Or are there?
Well, there's
I think it's more about, I don't know, for me, electronics, it's the condensation of moisture in the air and then freezes on the electronics and can short circuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
And you can't even escape that with film because film will become really brittle and snap if it's too cold. Yeah.
And with a film camera, with all the mechanical parts, like when we shot on Bolexes at Augsburg, you know, if you go outside and it's too cold, these springs act differently. You get a different time of a different length of time that the camera will run because it's also operated via a spring. And so with it being colder, the metal contracts a little bit, so you don't get quite as much filming time out of it.
Physics at work.
True.
It governs our lives. Did they do any techniques, or did you notice anything that they like kept it in a container, not shooting it, or nothing?
Nope, they're just carrying it around. Hmm. They unpacked it from their cases, and they just walked around with it.
I guess that just it paid off. They risked it and
If it was much colder, if it was really windy, then I think then they would have possibly reconsidered or done differently. Like if there was a long segment of time when they weren't filming, they did like stick it just inside a car. It wasn't running, but I think just keeping it in there was also a good thing. So, yeah.
I think the hardest part for me was when we were filming Wade with some of the films we were doing was just holding the camera with, you know, with gloves. It's pretty hard, you know, if especially on the digital cameras with all the little buttons, where you have to take off your gloves, and especially with that wind.
I think the good rule of thumb, if you are going to film when it's cold out, is if it's too cold to operate the camera without gloves, the camera should probably go back inside. The good rule of thumb to keep with that.
It's a hard one to follow where we live, though.
Yes, it is. Since we have winter 13 months out of the year.
Feels like it.
Yep. Yeah.
I would say differently when it gets to the summer, when it gets all humid and above 100, though.
Yeah, that's true. That, it makes it hard to be outside and under the sun, too, with the high humidity. Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm glad we got to do that. We met some great people here in Minnesota, too, through that, and we kind of met with them. And
Who was that again?
Tom Lovett?
Tim Lovett.
Oh, Tim Lovett.
Tim Lovett. And
he was the kind of the coordinator, wasn't he?
He was the producer, the on-set producer, because Sam and Nico's regular producer, Jake, I apologize, Jake, I completely blanked on your last name, but he is out in L.A. because he couldn't make it out for this shoot. So Tim was a guy who had been a PA for them on previous shoots, I think on the Assassin's Creed one, and he just showed the right kind of like the drive for it and the initiative and everything. And so when they were coming back out here and Jake couldn't come with, they asked him if he would be their on-set producer.
Cool.
For it.
So I'm glad we got to do that. And speaking of Minnesota and what's going on here, there is a film festival coming up.
Yep. It's the Z Fest Film Festival. It's Z Fest, but I guess it has nothing to do with zombies, even though we were trying to do a zombie tie-in.
We thought.
Right. The registration ended on the 1st of February, but it's going to be at March 1st, I believe, at the Riverview Theater, which is in South Minneapolis, right off of 42nd Avenue and 38th Street. And it's basically each team makes a 7-minute film as well as a 30-second trailer to go along with it. Mm. And I guess it can be about anything. And Louis Anderson is a judge, which is industry.
Looks like they call it Best of Fest screening. It's in Mall America theaters. I'm not sure. They must
I believe
identify
that
the best ones and then do another screening.
Yeah.
Which is a nice theater. I've been there for a couple other premieres. And I know we've been trying to do something like a fest. We'll have to jump on one this summer, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because for as much as we talk about film, we need to make it more.
Yep, so that's... What's the date again and times? Do we know that?
You can find the info about it either at z-fest.com or on MN Film TV's website. I had the date here.
The festival theater screening is March 7th,
2013. Oh, yeah, March 7th.
And then there's the Best of Fest screening and award ceremony, which that's the one that's at the Mall of America Theaters, and that one is on the 14th of March.
Very cool.
Yeah, best of luck to all the people who submitted films for that.
7 minutes, too. That's not that hard to do comparatively. We should try to do that.
Yeah, it looks like they set up teams beforehand.
They do. Okay.
People submit, and then they go, okay, yep, you're you're good to go, and then they make it specifically for the festival.
Sure, gotcha.
So it's kind of like a competition.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I guess we wanted to talk about our own personal stories shooting in winter.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Well, do you have any?
I guess I'll start off. Well, Lee alluded to it a few minutes ago, which was, you know, back in high school even, we would shoot in the wintertime. One time, I remember in particular, it was Trav and I, and we didn't have a camera person. We used a tripod, but we spent about 4 hours in 14-degree weather shooting. And it's great because, you know, there wasn't a lot of snow, and you can't tell on camera that it was that cold. And we just tried to muscle through it and get the shots done, and it turned out great. It's just one of those added things that you have to put up with. And if you can, it can look great when you're done.
I actually just thought of one that I completely forgot about. About 3 years ago, I went to Japan for my grandparents' 40th wedding anniversary. And while we were on this vacation with me and the rest of my family, we decided we were going to climb Mount Fuji. And climb is a stretch. It's just a long trail. It takes like a day, about a day total.
Fuji's a giant ramp, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Tallest points in Japan. And, you know, it's high enough to the point where is when you're going up there, you start going into clouds, literally. And on the day when we started our ascent, it was raining. So it was already really cold out from the rain. And then it was starting to snow on our way up the mountain. And because at the time I had just gotten a video camera recently, I wanted to film my family going up there to make a little for fun video later. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I had bought a pair of like cheapish gloves, and I had cut the thumb and index finger off of the gloves so that I could get to the record and the zoom switches easily. As a result, I think I got, I don't know, what's the lowest degree of frostbite? Is that third or first degree? I'm not sure which way it goes. But I got that on both my fingers.
Wow.
It started discoloring my fingernails as a result because of that. You got to be careful with that kind of stuff. Well, if you're ever climbing a mountain, be careful about filming.
I applaud your devotion to getting the shot.
Yes, indeed.
There was also, when we were filming for one of your projects on Rob's Land, that we did too.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, another time we filmed, we were using an Aeroflex. Don't remember the exact model.
Was it the one from Augsburg?
Yeah.
It was a BL then, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the BL's a blimped version. That's right.
Yeah.
We were filming out there, and that was crazy because not only were we filming in the snow with a very, very expensive film camera, but also because of problems with the magazines of film, I had to, in the middle of like snowy fields, get underneath a coat to change out.
Because it's light sensitive.
Yeah, because of the film, because it's all actual film.
Yeah.
To change that stuff out when it didn't work right.
I've never actually loaded that mag before. How was it?
If you're inside in a dark room on a table, it's not too bad.
Okay.
When you're outside in the snow.
The opposite of what you did.
Yes. Okay. It was a challenge. I'm actually surprised the film turned out. And like it was a problem with filming that day because we had a light sensor, because especially with film cameras, you need to expose the film for the light. And our light sensor, the batteries died. And it was like one of those weird, like really small but stout batteries. So it's not one that you have laying around.
So you just had to like guess what the F-stop
was. Yeah, so we
was.
Guessed. Like, it was surprising it turned out as well as it did. Like it was still overexposed, but at least it was consistently
overexposed. Did you just look through the eyepiece and say, yeah, that looks about right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It risky, but.
Yeah, it was all in my, I had a camera person there and she just like, made her best guesses. And again, like at least it was consistently overexposed, so it wasn't jumping back and forth between overexposed.
It was an artistic choice you made deliberately, is what you mean to say.
Exactly.
Also, another thing is if you are shooting outside in the cold, as Lee and I know, make sure your batteries are charged so you don't get all your actors and props and set just in the right place and then the battery dies.
Batteries in general, they're not going to last as long either in the cold.
So have a way to charge it.
Has left their laptop or anything.
However, you can make batteries like, if you store them, you can make them last longer by freezing them.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, which.
But can you take them from being frozen and use them right away? Or do you have to thaw them out like a turkey?
I honestly don't know.
Okay, well.
Well, I think we have an experiment on our hands in front of the next podcast.
Yeah. Be sure there's turkey.
No, Lee, I remember that day we were shooting and like 5 minutes in, we had a lot of shots still to do. You were like, oh, hey, battery's dead. Everyone, thanks. You can go home.
Yeah, because we got, what, like 8 people to come out?
Yeah, and at least.
Do this bonfire scene.
Right.
At least we had the fire, but
Yeah, we had the wides done, and then we had to come back later and do the close-ups. So it worked out, but it was a pain in the ass.
It was really cool for me, though, because we were using the crane, which is all metal.
Yep.
So trying to hold that, and I don't know. I didn't have... It was like, it wasn't winter yet, but it was like...
It was in November.
Yeah.
It was that early, like the early like, cold air that's starting to come down.
I wasn't wearing gloves and you know, things like that, so...
You're still in denial. You think it's fall still. The winter's not here yet.
I think if you hold off, you're wearing warm clothes.
Right. I'm not sure if I've done any other stuff. Well, we did finger bang last year, but that wasn't that cold. It was in like January, but it was a mild.
Yeah, it was a really mild January.
Yeah. Because we were
was
just
there
in,
even snow on the ground?
There was a little bit. Or wasn't there?
No, I don't think there was.
No.
No. Yeah, and we were just in jackets. So it looked like it could have been like fall or spring or something.
Yeah.
Which can be a beneficial thing. Like if you need to film in Minnesota.
What? Are you going back to the thing you said, the Vibe blog, about it being snow? If people need snow, they come to Minnesota?
And they do. They
Not always. For example, for Chronicles Not of always, Narnia, yes. For Chronicles of Narnia, when CG. Lucy...
All green screen?
No, actually. When Lucy first walks out, if you've seen the movie, when Lucy first walks out of the wardrobe into Narnia and it's all snowy everywhere, all that snow, it was all, because they just had, it was a very small portion of the forest that they were filming in, but that was all shredded paper.
Oh.
Yeah, because like the two basically methods of doing fake snow is, from now what I know, shredded paper, and the other one is like, shredded styrofoam, almost like for Lord of the Rings.
Really?
When they were filming on the cliff faces for when Saruman is like dropping the snow. Yeah, it was
you can tell sometimes though, like especially when it was catching on like Gandalf's beard and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it looked a little too big.
Obviously if you're not from a snowy state, you're not gonna know how snow is supposed to react.
People in Southern California don't know what snow looks like.
Yeah. And you can also tell because it's styrofoam, it's an insulator. So you can tell that their eyes are a little bit red around them because they're sweating on set. It's supposed to be cold out, but they're sweating because they have all the studio lights are on them and they have all the styrofoam that is now coated to their bodies.
Yeah, and you can tell the way it reacts with skin. Like, it doesn't melt. It just kind of, like, floats around.
Yeah.
Or if you're HBO, you just film Game of Thrones in Iceland.
Yeah. Is that where they shot it?
Yeah.
Okay, because we were trying to figure it out. It looked like Scotland or Ireland or something like that, but it's
at least
Iceland.
when they're, if you know the story at all, when they're beyond the wall, they're in Iceland.
Okay.
And so, like, if you watch their behind the scenes at all, they talk about how their beards, like how there's frozen like ice or snow on their beards. That's real.
Because
ice.
Winter is coming.
Because winter is coming.
Yeah, that premieres soon too.
The end of March, I believe.
Lovely.
Cool.
I think the biggest reason they film in Minnesota as far as a couple movies is ice. Like having ice rinks.
Yeah.
Like all the Mighty Ducks.
I was gonna say Mighty Ducks.
Filmed at Augsburg.
Yeah,
actually, I know for sure the
one
first
of the games,
one,
yeah,
that was
their practices. Were filmed.
Yeah, in one of our ice rinks. I don't know about the other two
because there isn't a lot of states that actually have ice arenas, even indoor ones.
And especially with year round ice arenas, because our, like the ones at Augsburg, those are operated year round.
Because last year, was it Justin Long movie you're starring in? They needed outdoor ice rink scenes, so they filmed it here.
Well, what do you know? If you need an ice rink, come to Minnesota.
We have
also
every city.
Maybe we can get Game of Thrones shot here. We got rolling hills, right?
Yeah,
mountains.
We can go out to the boundary waters.
There are no mountains.
We can just put it in.
I was
post.
In Duluth.
It's fine.
I was in Duluth. You kind of get, you know, it's
hills.
Yeah. It's pretty hilly.
Okay,
so
yeah, the Iron Hills.
You get the forefront, and then you CG and
sure.
Put
well,
the
we
background stuff
well
in.
Our hills are covered with trees. We don't have what they had in Iceland, which was like just prairie and then mountains, right?
Okay. Well, you just go a state over, and you're fine.
Wait, what?
Huh? Like you go over to Colorado, Montana.
Oh.
So you go over a state, then you can get your mountains.
That's not Minnesota, though.
Yeah, that's
well, no,
defeating
but you,
the purpose.
You get the close-up shots out here, and then you just go film that later.
Oh,
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot
to
of work.
All that stuff.
Not just the Appalachians. All
right. Well, obviously, this will be released tomorrow, but we got the Super Bowl today.
Right now, actually.
We're all going to. Is it going on right now?
Kickoff was 4 or 5 minutes ago.
It's 5:30.
What?
I think
I
it's
thought
still
it was
pre-game.
Five.
Pre-game starts at 3.
No. I'm going to look it up.
And anyways, all right,
but anyways.
I won't be watching it. I'm sorry to spoil it for anyone.
Well, we'll probably watch...
Not even the commercials?
The commercials.
Yeah. Oh, you can get that on YouTube later.
Oh, come
on. I hate that,
they...
A lot of them, they... Well, they're doing the ads of the ads now, which is
terrible.
That's
just...
But, like, a lot of them you can watch before or get the gist of it. Like, yeah, maybe they'll change like the punchline or something, but
I thought it was kind of lame that if you go on YouTube, you have to watch an ad to watch an ad.
Yeah, which is about an ad that's coming.
Yeah.
At the Super Bowl.
It's terrible.
It's like Inception commercials.
An ad within an ad.
Bah, bah.
Within a Taco Bell, within a taco. Yeah. That was from the South Park episode in Sheepson.
Yes.
In Sheepton.
Yeah.
Great episode, by the way.
I love South Park.
Okay, so
we're pretty excited. We'll have some fun afterwards.
Any predictions about who's going to win?
What is it?
The 49ers.
49ers.
The 49ers are the Ravens. This shows how much I know about
the Ravens and the 49ers are playing. I would like the Ravens to win because I used to live in Baltimore.
And plus, you used to live everywhere.
I know. Sorry.
Except Chicago.
Has either of them won? We probably don't know.
Yeah, you also used to live in California, where the 49ers are from.
Did. The 49ers have won, I believe, 5 Super Bowls. However, they have not lost a Super Bowl that they've gone to. However, the last time they went to a Super Bowl was 18 years ago. So,
you know, if we're not careful, we're going to have to reclassify this as a sports podcast.
Yeah, let's move on. Okay,
also, I wasn't saying, but Ben, NFL.com/Super Bowl, 23 minutes to kick off.
Oh, fantastic.
Snapped his
old. Okay. Well, Lee was right again.
Well, I think it needs to be a thing. We need to correct Ben on something on every podcast.
Well, okay. I think we can talk about, I know we saw a couple movies. I don't know if I can. I'm pretty busy right now, but we know we wanted to try to watch some movies for the Oscars as far as the ones that got nominated. I got to watch Silver Linings Playbook, and then Ben and David, they got to watch Zero Dark Thirty. Did you get to see anything, Wade? Less than a month?
You know, Silver Lining. We saw
We would.
What else was on the best of list? We've got Lincoln.
I know, like, Lincoln, I haven't seen that.
I saw that.
Django, I haven't seen that. I've seen Argo.
Okay,
Argo's up. Is still out there.
What else was there?
Life of Pi.
Life of Pi. I haven't seen that one either.
We are behind.
We should go to that one.
Let's go to the Life of Pi.
There's also
mixed reviews about that one.
There's also more. It's a French foreign film. It's also up for foreign language or best foreign language film.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're gonna spend too much time on it. I just wanted to get impressions on it. I know for me, I really like Silver Linings Playbook. Mm-hmm. It was
I've heard kind of a
quirky comedy / drama, which I love those. I love when they're well written like that, where they can kind of cross lines with, you know, because there's some scenes of intense, you know, talking and fighting and stuff, but then they have that humor that's kind of weaved in between it. Acting was really good. Yeah, it's just a fun movie.
Yeah, currently 92% of Rotten Tomatoes. Not often you see a rom-com with that kind of rating.
Yeah.
Which, because I think what you were talking about is it kind of blends genres a little bit. You know, I think a lot of romantic comedy is one of the reasons I don't really care for them is because they kind of get stagnant in this old archetype of what they are and what they do and, you know, what parts of the movies this happens, when the guy screws up and all is lost and he has to go make it up to the girl. Yep. Or, you know, just stuff you've seen a million times.
Yeah, I kind of knew what was going on, but yet I didn't like how it was going to end or, you know, what was going to happen. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah. But no, I thought it was really enjoyable. And I really liked the performances. Jennifer Lawrence was really good. And actually, Bradley Cooper, I didn't really care for him in any of the roles he's played so far. But he won me over in this one. I thought he did really good. And Robert De Niro was obviously brilliant. He had a really good dynamic with Bradley Cooper. Especially the scene where they have like a nice father-son, you know, catharsis moment, which was really kind of nice. Chris Tucker.
Oh, yeah. I did not expect that.
No.
Chris Tucker in there. That was hilarious.
He's Chris Tucker.
Because I haven't seen him
since Rush Hour.
Rush Hour, what, 3? Is that?
Yeah, that was the last Rush Hour,
one?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a third one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed those movies. Mm-hmm. They were ridiculous, but.
Oh, yeah. One of Jackie Chan's better one series.
Yeah, so, yeah, I would recommend going to
see it. What do you guys think was going to win Best Picture, if you had to guess?
Oh, wait, I think let's hold off on that. Until
you want to hold off?
Yeah, until we talk about, Ben and I can talk about
Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to bring that up, that same question.
No, tell us about it, because I haven't seen it.
Yep. So Zero Dark Thirty was a film, a dramatization about the effort to find and, you know, capture, kill, whichever it would be, of Osama bin Laden. and all that. And this one was directed by Catherine Bigelow, who also did The Hurt Locker, which won Best Picture 2 years ago, I believe.
I really enjoyed Hurt Locker. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I've not seen Hurt Locker, so I can't do a comparison of the two, because I know they're both military films to a degree. Zero Dark Thirty, it sort of bounces. It doesn't actually get very, like, armed forces geared until the very end when they're about to carry out the attack.
So what'd you think of it?
I thought it was very good.
Is it your type of movie? Like, how would you?
It was well shot. The story progressed well, and you got an emotional connection with the characters by the end of it, because you're following this woman who is one of the analysts that is trying to find Osama bin Laden, and she's trying to get all her contacts and figure out who knows who and get all this web of connections together. And you get this progression when she's first starting out and she's first trying to see some of these pieces all the way till the very end where she's the one who identifies Osama
bin
Laden. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler. Is she the main character?
He dies.
She is.
Okay, because I think she's up for an award.
I believe she is, yes.
Yeah.
She's up for Best Actress.
Now, I remember watching, all I've seen is the trailer, and it seemed probably intentional, a little, you know, vague, a little unclear about exactly what it was trying to say. Did you get a sense of that in the movie, or was it a little more clear what was coming across?
If you are an American and you go see this movie, you don't leave the movie theater feeling good. Not necessarily you're supposed to. Not that the movie is like.
So it's critical.
The intention is supposed to give you a good feeling.
Sure.
Because you know when that actually happened, there were a lot of Americans who celebrated. That's definitely not what this movie does. I don't know.
Okay. So you guys recommend it?
Oh yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So would you guys guess for Best Picture? Would you put that one up there?
Based on the other ones up here, yes. I think, in my opinion, it's going to be a toss-up between Zero Dark Thirty and Silver Linings.
Really?
Yeah. I think with Life of Pi, from what I've heard of it, it's visually, it's a very stunning film, but there's not much else to it.
Okay.
And I don't think Les Mis is going to win.
I think Lincoln is going to be.
Lincoln has a good chance. Top. I don't want Zero Dark Thirty to win, actually.
Why is that?
I agree.
Because if it would win, I feel like a good portion of the reason why it would win is because it's relevant.
Okay. Just the topic itself.
Yeah, it's a topical thing to be talking about at this point.
I think Lincoln is a little bit more relevant just because of when it came out versus the political climate, the polarization of parties and voters. Lincoln being
which
someone...
Is,
I think it's
which
had more attention.
Because in that time, the roles were reversed, actually.
Oh, yeah, the political party, sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would probably second Lee on that. I think Lincoln...
Do you think Django has any chance?
No.
Just because of the type of movie it is?
It was a very good movie, and I loved it. I would definitely see it again.
I don't think it's going to win Best Picture.
How about Les Mis? Because that got a lot of
That's probably...
attention.
I think that's going to garner
Or do you think it's just going to be, like... Anne Hathaway might get like supporting.
I'm thinking. Yeah, I think it might garner a couple other awards there, but I don't think it's going to win.
Okay. Sure, I would
say Hugh Jackman winning Best Actor.
Based on who he's against, I don't think so.
I think
Anne Hathaway is going to win for sure.
Yeah, Argo came out a while back, but that was also a really good one. We saw that and
yeah,
really enjoyed it. So yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of good movies up this year, and. I haven't seen Beasts of the Southern Wild. I don't know if any of you guys saw that one.
I haven't seen that one.
Nope.
But no, I think whoever wins is probably going to deserve it because there's tough competition.
Yeah, that's great competition.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know at our next podcast, since that will be after the Oscars, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about then.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
And I think with that, you know, what's coming up with the Oscars and all that, and, you know, there's been a couple awards shows, but we know that I don't know. I think we have a lot of good movies coming out. And I think we just wanted to share like one per person of what we're most looking forward to in 2013.
For movie release?
It can be movie. It can be, I think it could be anything. Technology, video games, book, you know,
making this tough.
Yeah. I was trying to think about it and I was, I was having a hard time.
I can go first.
You can go. Yeah, go first.
Okay. Well, I guess one thing the best thing I'm looking forward to is probably all the things we're gonna get done together as a startup company.
Oh.
Because we're getting our web identity created, and I'm sure we're buying a lot of equipment. We're about to get a light kit, and we're gonna probably do a lot of fun shooting this summer once the weather breaks, and expand what we do, and hopefully get. More of an influence here in the cities. Also, a little attached to that, I'm going to clear my throat by saying that I'm also looking forward to the announcement of the next Zelda game, which should be coming out this next year for the Wii U, and it's going to be awesome. That's what I'm excited for.
Yeah, there is so much fun stuff that's going to be that is coming out, and I was going to talk about a piece of technology, something for the Red cameras, but I'm going to have to go with, I'm looking forward to Ender's Game, because that is fun. Oh, I took it from Ben. It's a great book by Orson Scott Card, and it has been rumored. He's
actually one of my favorite authors.
Yeah,
and Harrison Ford's in it.
Yes, he is. And like this, the movie has been like alleged, like a movie that is listed on IMDb for like the last 10 or 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and now it's actually done already.
Do they have a release date yet?
Yeah, I think it's in March.
March.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, and it's been done for about a year.
It's very quiet. You'd imagine hearing trailers about this for a while now.
Yeah. I think it was a very small production house made it, mm-hmm. even though they have Harrison Ford in it, but they'd just been waiting for a distributor. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to finally seeing that on the big screen.
Yeah,
Ben,
do you have another one back up?
Yeah,
Matt, I can talk more.
Well, I have a couple of things that I'll just shoot them off real quick. One, I'm looking forward to working with the people that you guys talked to or met at the Merlin's, the guys from.
Oh, the other guys that we met, mm-hmm. That I met on the Quarter Digital sheet, yes. Tim and Steven.
Yeah, because like one of the things that we at Intersection Studios really want to do is create more of a network within Minnesota for filming and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to talking to them. Looking forward to the new Xbox, see what's going to come out there. As far as actual like media and stuff is concerned, I'm really looking forward to the new Game of Thrones a lot, actually.
The new one? I haven't yet to get into that. I'm going to be getting HBO here soon, so.
What? I watched one episode of Game of Thrones. I was surprised at the boobage that was in that show.
That's HBO, what it's though.
About. I have a funny stat about that.
we're continuing with our, we got to,
okay,
you know,
okay.
Is it a long stat or just?
No, it's really fast.
Okay.
So in the first two seasons, so how many episodes are there in a season? It's about 20 episodes? 20 episodes. In all of that, there is only 15 minutes of nudity.
Out of
in
what?
20 hours.
20 hours?
Yeah.
That's probably
a lot.
Those
15 minutes are so sweet. Okay, moving along.
God, there's so... As far as just movies, there's just so many I'm looking forward to. If I could pick one, though, I would say it's Zack Snyder's Superman.
Man of Steel.
Because the last one just was so disappointed by it, and just I was really excited about it, and then it just kind of, I don't know, it just was not good.
I think based on the preview alone is one.
Yeah, the preview was excellent, and just how they presented it. But just to go through a list, just to ramble off some here that I'm more focusing on. We got the Oz movie, Hunger Games, next one. It says The Hobbit. Is that actually this year? Or I've seen it say next year. Okay, so the next Hobbit, Iron Man 3, Monsters Star Trek. University. I don't think I'm really looking forward to that at all. But Anchorman, there's so many.
Can I go again? Because I thought we were doing one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just listening. I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying how many. There's Thor, there's Star Trek. Okay. Zombie movies, another Hangover, Oblivion,
another Hangover,
another Die Hard,
part 3,
another Die Hard.
It just needs to die. Is what it needs to do.
Another Machete movie,
Die Hard in the box office.
After Earth. I didn't know that was actually M. Night Shyamalan. Like his.
Oh really?
Oh,
after,
that's right. Yeah,
after
he's been
Avatar. So
he's been working on that for a couple of years now.
Yeah, so I'm actually excited for that one. Ender's Game.
Another movie with Will Smith and his son.
Else is there? Sin City, another Sin City.
Hmm.
Lots of movies. Asylum, that's another one.
Yeah, And I think something that's been happening with movies, I think movies are going to be getting more and more interesting in the coming decade, because we're starting to get the decentralization of Hollywood as the center of all filmmaking for the world. Like, it's still very much important, but with how cheap it's become to acquire filming equipment and for anyone to become a filmmaker or to, you know, post a video on YouTube.
Sure.
That I think it's going to get more and more interesting as we move on.
Yeah, well, you look at a film like Once, which back in early 2008, the Oscars for the year of 2007, it won Best Song Written for a Film.
Yep.
And that was shot on DV cams, you know, over in Ireland. Yep. So, you know, films like that can come and win an Oscar. Or, you know, that was also the year of Juno winning Best Screenplay, which was written, you know, in Rosedale.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. So. I think it was shot in Minnesota, too.
Yeah, it was.
I know
they
had scenes in Mall America and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about this movie, I can't even say it.
Pacific Rim,
yeah.
Ah, yes, that's the
Del Toro.
New, yep.
That have one, you seen the teaser for that?
I have seen that one.
No, does it look cool?
It looks cool, but it looks, like he even said it, it's just like a big grown-up kid robot movie.
Okay.
Yeah, like,
because they just, two people
like,
go on robots
like
that
battleships,
are huge, and they fight monsters that have come out of another dimension.
Portal that was opened underwater.
Underwater,
so it's
kind
of like an episode of South Park.
Oh. Yep.
That one, I don't know how that one.
Some crazy
be.
Movies.
Okay, so what are you looking forward to, Lee? Just pick something.
Superman.
Yeah, he
said that in the beginning.
He was just going to list of all
the
other
stuff. I was just showing how hard it was to pick just one.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so a movie. Okay.
Good, good.
Yep.
I think anybody else have anything else to share?
Well, I was just going to say that maybe for next time, because I thought it'd be cool to talk about films, obviously, but other things like video games or more books or, you know, TV series, I guess.
Storytelling.
Yeah, in general. You know, we want to also be a little more focused on, you know, video game to interactive media in general.
I think someone wants to talk about Legend of Zelda.
I'll save that till next time.
Because of the book you got?
Yeah, I got the Hyrule Historia book, which is awesome.
It is really cool, though. I've looked at it.
It's like an art book for Zelda, pretty much.
And a complete history.
I wanted to get the Halo one. I
wanted to get the Assassin's Creed one.
Was that called?
I just never did that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like the 10 years of Halo, something like that.
Well, next month's discussion will be very interesting then. I'm
sure
we have a lot to talk
about
for video games and TV shows and everything.
Yeah, and I think we're still going to do monthly, right?
Monthly.
I think it gives enough time to
first Sunday in March, yeah.
It'll be out the first Monday. The first Monday that is after a Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
In March.
So that'll be March 4th.
Cool.
Lovely.
That's awesome. Birthday weekend.
Well, thank everyone for listening.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. See you next time.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.